gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
Kate, what are you doing?
Oh, Jill, come here, look at this.
Still studying that old house in Jamaica.
You know, the more I look at that picture, the more intrigued I get. I've got a map here of the area, and I think I figured out just where Glory Hall must be. I can't believe I'll be there tomorrow.
So it's all set with Mr. Ross?
Yes, but it wasn't easy.
I didn't think it would be. Do you know how long that old house in Jamaica has been listed for sale?
No.
3 years. But when anybody shows any interest in buying, they just clam up and won't see them.
Well, I think maybe I can. You see, I'm not going down there as a stranger. I know Glory Point. I sailed past it with my husband so many times.
Did you ever go to the big house?
No, I never even knew there was a house. You can't see it from the sea. That's why I've been studying this map. It must be back some distance from the point.
It says in the description that there's heavy foliage around it.
And it's 300 years old. Some of those walls are 3 feet thick.
Sounds spooky to me. How long ago were you down there in Jamaica, Kate?
Well, my husband's been dead 3 years, June. Before that, we were down there a lot. Tom loved to sail.
It must have been beautiful.
Oh, I thought at the time it was. But I know better now.
Oh?
Yeah, I guess you don't begin to grow up until you know the truth and can face it. Look, I'm not trying to pretend anything. I'm not going down to Jamaica just to sell a house for Mr. Ross. I'm going down because I have to. But if I can clear up the questions about this listing...
Honey, you don't need to explain to me.
I want to, June. Look, my husband died under a cloud. There was a whole chapter of his life I knew nothing about. It happened down there in Jamaica. Maybe near Glory Point. That's why I... Kate Wakefield. Oh, yes, Margie. Of course. Sure, right away. Thank you. Mr. Ross wants to see me, June.
Uh-oh.
Does he change his mind about things?
He doesn't like to, Kate, unless he has a good reason.
Come in, Kate. I hope you're not going to be disappointed.
Disappointed?
Yeah, I just got a call from Ralph Hadley, the real estate agent in Kingston, who's handling the Pomeroy place.
Yes.
Well, he told us Pomeroy we had somebody coming down and it's no dice.
Well, what does that mean, no dice?
Well, I told you, Louis Pomeroy is difficult. He says they're not selling and he doesn't want anybody snooping around.
Snooping?
Yeah, that's the way he talks.
Well, what about Miss Ellen Pomeroy?
The old lady, it doesn't matter. He does the talking. He never lets her get near a phone. Acts as if the marbles rattle.
Oh, but he's done this before, hasn't he?
Yeah, but it seems final this time. He told Hadley to remove the listing. He doesn't want to hear from us again. Oh, I'm sorry, honey. I just can't give you that nice little trip.
Mr. Ross, I never wanted you to give me a nice little trip.
But it would have been worth it just to get that on again, off again business squared away.
Mr. Ross, well, I wouldn't be going down just for you. Will you give me a week's leave of absence without pay?
Why, sure, but...
I must go to Jamaica. I have plane reservations for tomorrow.
Okay.
And I must go to Glory Point. I hope you have no objections if I call on Miss Ellen Pomeroy on a personal matter.
What's this all about, Kate?
Well, it has to do with my late husband.
Oh, I see. Hey, do you know the Pomeroy?
No, I never met them, but I do know a relative of theirs here in the city.
Well, yeah. Just maybe you could get inside, Louis, find out how he thinks. And in that case, I'd be glad to pay some of your trip.
I'm not asking you to pay for anything. I'll just do what I can, Mr. Ross.
Well, you got a place to stay near there?
I'll find one.
Okay, I'll call Hadley back.
No. Please don't.
I want him to know you're coming.
Well, it wouldn't do any good now, and It might spoil everything.
Now, look, Kate. Will you take my advice this time? There's something a little flaky about that Pomeroy outfit, and I think you better stay away from him.
Mr. Ross, thank you. But this is a personal matter now. So I'll just have to decide when I get there. Look, please don't call Mr. Hadley back about me.
Kate.
Yes?
Have a nice time.
Thank you, Mr. Ross. And thank you for the leave.
Hey, Margie. Get me Ralph Hadley in Kingston, huh? Yeah, Kingston, Jamaica. And while I'm waiting, will you bring me a seltzer?
I promise us a lovely Jamaican sunset.
Miss Ellen?
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry, were you napping?
Oh, you know I never nap during the day, Esmond.
There's a call for Mr. Lewis, but I can't find him.
Well, he's gone up to the well house. I'll take it.
You will? Oh,
certainly. And, Esmond, when you fetch my walking cane, please, I want to go out to the point.
Yes, Miss Ellen.
Miss Pomeroy. Oh, yes. How do you do, Mr. Hadley? How nice to hear from you.
My nephew isn't here.
Oh, well, I'll be glad to take the message.
Mr. Ross called me.
Oh, no, I know nothing about it, but I'd be very glad to meet anyone from the Ross Agency. What did you say? Oh, I see.
Ellen.
Oh, here's Lewis now. It's Mr. Hadley.
I'll take it. Yes, Hadley, what is it? What? Against my orders? Go on, I'm listening. Is that all? I'll take care of it myself. Well, what are you standing there for, Aunt Ellen?
I want to know what Hadley said.
That's hardly your affair, my dear aunt.
Everything that has to do with this house is my affair.
Isn't it time for your walk down to the point to see the sunset?
Presently. Hadley said we are to have a visitor.
You misunderstood, Aunt Ellen. I've asked you not to take my telephone call.
Well, then you'd better stay home and take them all yourself.
Hey, Aunt Ellen, let's not have one of our little scenes.
I dislike them, Lewis, as much as you do.
Then leave business matters to me.
I should be glad to. When we have sold this place and can go our separate ways. What did Mr. Hadley have to say?
He delivered my message to the Ross Agency in the States.
What message?
That we have decided finally that Glory Hall is not for sale.
Why do you do this to me, Lewis?
Because someone must take care of your affairs for you.
I'm not in my dotage. Glory Point was mine long before you came here to ruin it. Now all I want is to get rid of it and all it stands for.
And the day the deed was signed, you'd cry your eyes out. No, my dear aunt, Glory Hall will not be sold. Now, take your walk. You always fret if you miss the sunset.
When is she arriving, Lewis?
When is who arriving?
The person Mr. Hadley said was coming.
There is no person coming here. You misunderstood.
I shall have to call Mr. Hadley back.
I've told Hadley we won't bother him again.
Then I shall wait until she gets...
Ellen, no one is coming.
Perhaps. Esmond? Oh, there you are, child. Did you bring my cane? Thank you. And I shall want the candelabra polished. Now I shall take my walk out to Glory Point.
I'll call Hannah.
No, Lewis. I wish to be alone. I did not misunderstand. She is coming. Mrs. Wakefield, Tom's wife. Oh, I've waited so long. And yet, I'm afraid.
Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clairol commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clairol cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clairol cream formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
If you take Tylenol instead of aspirin for headache, now you can get the exact same relief with Daytrill and get a dollar refund besides. Buy Daytrill in a 100 or 250 tablet size, and Bristol-Myers will refund you $1. Send name, address, and Daytrill carton to Daytrill, Box 836, Farmingdale, New York, 11735, and get a dollar back. Offer good on one bottle only. Expires April 30th, 1976. So try Daytrill now and get a dollar back. Faces of Love has been brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
Presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Gentlemen, I am, as new listeners may not be aware, William Makepeace Thackeray, author of this novel. But this day's chapter evades me. An unconscionable long time I've dawdled here at my desk. Why does not my pen write, ink not flow? Ah, yes, I just have had the answer. It does not pleasure me to write that Becky Sharp has failed at anything. I enjoy her victories, the feathers in her cap. Oh, how delicious when she outwits, outflanks, outmaneuvers those who would bring her down. Now I must report a slip twixt cup and lip. The more distasteful since it has to do with that blackguard, George Osborne. She did not win him. Mind, I do not say will not. Or make no mistake, she will try again. But this morning, more important matters are on her mind. She breakfasts with Rawdon.
Another sausage, my sweet. Angel. I say, Becky.
Hmm? Yes, dearest.
Another sausage.
I don't seem to have eaten this one.
Oh, didn't notice. Why haven't you?
Food for thought is my breakfast. Darling, what are we to do? Twice you've been turned away from Aunt Matilda's door. Letters we send come back by return post unread. Mm. If we cannot to her, write to her, how can we win her?
Did win at cards last night.
Ah, so you did, my clever one. But I've won nothing, not even George Osborne.
The devil take that bounder. You won Pitt. We'd a note saying you'd call round.
Your brother. Oh, what is gained by that? I promised I'd think of ammunition to win this little war with Aunt Matilda, but Mrs. Bute, with her perilous tongue, is winning.
And she's sharp-tongued right enough. How could she know it was me, be there, to open the confounded door every time? Second time, didn't even open. Shouted through.
I've no doubt she has a servant watching every moment, shouting who it is, and down the staircase she flies. She knows full well you'd brush a servant aside. You can hardly knock your Aunt Martha about.
Jolly well like to.
Rawdon, I am going to Park Lane. I shall go this morning as soon as you leave for the barracks.
I am turned from the door of Auntie's house. How can you fancy it will be open to you? You'll not go, Becky. I won't have you insulted.
Oh, Goosey, I didn't say I'd go to the house or the door. I said to Park Lane.
For what? Do what?
Wait out of sight for Miss Briggs to walk Miss Crawley's wretched little dog. I can learn from her what's going on in that house, what your auntie says of us, what Mrs. Bute says of us, and when she's leaving, if she's leaving. Oh. And when I know those things, I'll know better what to do.
What if Briggs is Aunt Martha's lackey now?
Well, then I'll learn that too, won't I? Oh, say, it's a good idea. I'm so tired of doing nothing.
Capital idea, my angel. Would I could drive you. Can't, damn it. due at the barracks.
No matter. I'll take a hackney coach, and I don't care a sausage what it costs.
My dear listener, twould be no fair picture of Becky's mind were I to represent her as being confident, as once she was, that Miss Crawley soon will forgive Captain and Mrs. Crawley. Alas, Becky had not counted upon the interference of that monstrously implacable Mrs. Bute. Pray do not wonder of. Momentarily we shall hear the testimony of Arabella Briggs.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. Oceder makes your life easier.
Johnny, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Shut up, old chick.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Finalnet. Finalnet is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Finalnet holds up longer than you do.
Becky stands well away from that house in Park Lane, which is close to her. She wears, defiantly, the ermine cap, muff, and tippet given her at Christmas by Miss Crawley. She has waited very long, her little hands cold in the muff. But it was worth the waiting. Ah, yonder comes Briggs with Poof Poof, Miss Crawley's spoiled King Charles Spaniel.
Miss Becky, is it truly you? Dear Miss Briggs, don't look so startled. I'm not the ghost of Becky Sharp.
Are you coming to the house?
Ah, would I be welcome?
Oh, Miss Becky.
Would you not let me in?
I would. But I'm not permitted to answer the door.
Oh, then you don't mind talking to me here?
Indeed not. I am so very glad to see you.
Well, now, first, how is Miss Crawley? Not how she feels about me, her health.
Oh, Poof, do stop. I'll best pick him up, Miss Becky. He will have his way.
Oh, how well I know.
There, now, Poof, Poof. There. Mm. Oh, snug. Now then, you asked a question, and it's quite gone out of my... Oh, Matilda, she's in most frail health.
Oh, I'm so desperately sorry I've done this to her.
You've not done it. Oh, yes, you and Rawdon upset her badly. Mm. Indeed, you did. But I know she'd have got over it. Tis Mrs. Bute who makes her ill, and more ill all the time.
How does she do that? Although I can guess the answer. I know how susceptible Miss Crawley is, and Mrs. Reverend Bute tells her over and over how ill she looks and is, yes?
That, and worse. She speaks in the darkest tones of death, and you know how Matilda fears dying.
Are you saying she has quite succumbed to Mrs. Bute's authority?
She hasn't a strength of heart or strength to resist. Martha Bute manages everyone, the servant, me, and she will manage Matilda into her coffin.
Oh, can you not comfort her a little when Mrs. Bute is elsewhere?
She's never elsewhere, never quits the room.
Except to answer the door when Rawdon comes.
Yes, she sleeps on the chaise and allows no one else to enter.
What? Not even you?
Only long enough to say, how are you, Matilda? And then I'm told I must not drain the invalid's strength and am sent off. Oh, so mortifying. Mrs. Bute boasts how she never deserts her post of duty at bedtime.
Miss Crawley is kept in bed.
She is, and confinement to her couch is not necessary at all. Dr. Swinnerton said it.
Mrs. Bute defies him? Why, he's not allowing.
She sacked him.
No.
Yes, we've Dr. Squills now. He does everything she orders. Too many medicines, too much laudanum.
Small wonder Miss Crawley is not Miss Crawley, the apothecary. Has Mr. Crump been sacked?
No, because he never crosses her.
And all the while, Mrs. Bute says dreadful things of Rawdon and me.
Oh, she is too clever, my heart.
Oh, what does she say?
Of course, I'm not in the room, but when I pass along the hall, not listening at the door, you understand, but passing by, I hear those dreadful things. Oh, pray, don't ask me to speak them.
Never mind, I can well imagine.
When she sleeps, not Martha Bute. I don't think Martha ever sleeps. When dear Matilda sleeps, more than once I've heard her cry out your name.
Oh, that's the first hopeful thing you told me. Oh, if only Rawdon and I could see her. If only... Does Mrs. Bute say when she means to go back to Queen's Crawley?
I was bold enough to ask. She answered, not until her dear sister-in-law is well.
And all the while she intends to use every device to keep her dear sister-in-law ill.
Oh, I do hate to tell you this, but... She does plan to be away next week for a day.
Hate to tell me. Oh, it's the greatest good news. Rawdon and I can be with his auntie then.
Alas, no. She'll have the Reverend Bute there whilst he's gone. She posted a letter only this morning telling him to come.
But she stops at nothing. Where is she going?
To Chiswick.
Chiswick? Oh, what? To see Miss Pinkerton? Whatever for? Miss Pink already told her all she knows of me.
She wrote Miss Pinkerton to ask where you lived before you indentured to her school.
Oh, why does she want to know that? Well, don't answer. I know. She wants to learn my early history.
I feel so, Miss Becky. Oh. She has the name of your landlady. She hopes to learn more dreadful things of you and your father and mother.
Oh, Lord, save us. She will learn and report every terrible, shocking word to Miss Crawley. All is lost. Quite, quite lost.
Oh, alas, dear listeners, our Becky does not exaggerate. You do not know her early history. I do. And would I did not. Better still, would her landlady did not. That lady's name? Mrs. Ricketts. Let us hope she is decamped for the new world. Ah, it's quite out of reach. Ladies, gentlemen, tomorrow? Oh, as for me, I dread it. Your nervous servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
I know we share everything, hon, but next time, could you keep your cold to yourself?
This was your cold day. You sneezed first.
You were sniffling before that. Think of the money we spend on nasal sprays.
That's why I bought four-way nasal spray today. It can cost a lot less than the leading brand, a lot less.
Yeah?
And you can't buy faster decongesting relief than four-way. Here, just follow the directions.
Hey, that's a blast.
I know. I bought four-way for me, too. And think how much we can save on four-way with all the colds you get.
You mean all the colds you give me?
Hi, I'm trimming my little girl's hair. Mine was the same beautiful chestnut color once, before the grays started sneaking in. But I discovered Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It covered my grays without changing my natural color, and it has no peroxide. Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer, too. Our hair looks almost alike now, except mine has no bubble gum in it.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
The Author Studio has been brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life, brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Will you stop worrying?
Of course I'm worried. I'm not going to stop worrying. Aunt Maggie's out there in Montana in a hospital with a broken leg or a broken hip. I cannot get one definite bit of information from anybody. In fact, I can't get anybody.
I'm sure she's all right. She was very cheerful when she called us last Friday.
Well, that was before she was operated on Saturday or putting a pin in her leg.
If anything had gone wrong, I'm sure we would have heard.
From whom?
Honey, Aunt Maggie's got a ton of cousins out there, loads of friends. She's lived in Montana for 40 years after her folks moved out there.
I don't know why. None of her cousins or her friends have called us. Something must be wrong.
No news is good news.
Well, I'd like some news.
Aunt Maggie said the break in her leg was a good break.
I know, and that is the silliest statement I ever heard. How can a break in a leg be a good break?
Because it wasn't in the hip joint.
Well...
And Maggie said the doctor said she'd be up even this week, and in 6 weeks, she'd be as good as new.
And Maggie may complain about little things, like she gets a, you know, a head cold, and we have to go through where she could have gotten it and all that. But when she is really sick, she's a stoic. She is so cheerful, and
what do you want to do? Fly out to Montana? It's all right with me if you're so worried.
Well, there's no point in flying out there if she is being taken care of.
Of course she's being taken care of. She's in a hospital.
I'll go to the doctors.
Peg.
When you think about these things, not all doctors are great, you know.
Putting a pin in a broken leg is not as complicated as open heart surgery. I'm sure there's a very competent surgeon out there who knows quite well what he's doing.
Well, I hope so. It's so awful to have somebody you love in a hospital far away and you're not there to make sure everything is going all right.
Frankly, if you don't mind my saying so, I think it's just as well you're not there.
Why? What's that mean?
I know you. You'd be driving the nurses and doctors wild, making sure Aunt Maggie was getting constant attention.
Well, listen, with a shortage of nurses these days, perhaps I should be there. She probably isn't getting the attention she should get. I could help. Nurses they have would probably appreciate it.
I'm not sure. When I was in the hospital and just had my appendix out...
Why, I was there every day looking after you.
Yeah. And every other patient on the floor. One would have thought you were the head nurse. Every time a light went on, you were dashing in and out of rooms, emptying bedpans, getting a glass of ice water, putting flowers in water.
They were short of nurses. I was trying to help out.
Well, you came to visit me, but I never saw anything of you.
Oh, you didn't? Hmm?
No. I put on my light one time just to say hello to you.
Oh, come on.
Oh, it's the truth. And you breezed in the door and you said, honey, please don't bother me. Mrs. So-and-so needs her back rubbed.
Oh, you're making that up. Well, I guess I should have been a nurse.
You'd have made a terrible nurse.
What a thing to say.
No, you would. When you did come in my room, most of the time you were weeping over somebody who was very ill. You took everyone's problems to heart. I think doctors and nurses have to keep a much more objective viewpoint. They can't get emotional over every patient.
Well, I wish just one of them out in that hospital in Montana would get some kind of a viewpoint and call us. I've left our number at the hospital asking somebody to call and give us a medical report. Nothing.
Please, stop worrying.
Stop telling me to stop worrying.
How about some dinner? You said it was about ready.
Oh, it's just leftovers. Sort of waiting for the hospital to call back before we, you know, sat down at the table. I put in a call for the head nurse on Aunt Maggie's floor. Doesn't have a phone in her room.
Hey, wait a minute. I'll tell you what. We've sent Aunt Maggie flowers, but why don't we make a box of some little silly things to send her, things she'll get a kick out of opening, you know, to amuse her?
Such as? What amuses you when you have a broken hip?
Well, I think I'll send her a couple of crossword puzzle books.
Good idea, honey. She adores crossword puzzles. What else?
Well, let's see now. Why don't we send her a Get Well card every day so she always has something to open each day? I'll stop at that card shop tomorrow.
Well, for heaven's sake, make sure you read all the Get Well cards. I don't know what some of those people in the greeting card business are thinking of. You can hardly find a decent one anymore.
Yeah, I know.
They're either so sexy they're downright dirty, or else they're so vulgar, especially some of those Get Well cards. They're awful. They're in such poor taste.
Yeah, I know. I'll look for something funny,
yeah,
huh?
Except what's awfully funny when you're sick.
Yeah, know? That's true.
Listen, Aunt Maggie's so sentimental, and she really does like those greeting cards that are kind of drippy, the long poems. Try to find one that says, Missing You, things like that.
Well, that shouldn't be any problem. Every time I try to find a nice, simple greeting card, just a birthday, for example, it's got some long, syrupy poem.
Well, Aunt Maggie likes them. Get something that says, Missing You, or The World Is Not the Same, My Dear, as It Was When You Were Here, you know, that sort of thing.
Okay, I'll find a real Hearts and Flowers one.
Oh, and in the box of silly things we sent, I'll get some needlepoint. That's not so silly, but I'll get it. Aunt Maggie's been wanting to recover the seats of all our dining room chairs. I thought it was too much work, and I said no, but now I'll pick out a pattern and get her started.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And why don't we put a tape on our tape recorder and we'll all talk, huh? I'll get Maynard and Evie and the neighbors she knows.
Hey, that's a great idea. I'll pick up some tape tomorrow.
Yeah, fine. Oh, what else can we do, you know? Funny for...
Oh, honey. Now, Peg, Aunt Maggie's going to be all right.
Yeah, it's so helpless when someone is sick. There. That's long distance.
I don't know how you always know it's long distance. The rings always sound the same to me.
No, not to me. That is long distance. Yes? Hello? Yes, it is.
Long distance from Montana?
Yes, I'll hold on. Yes, I put in a call to the head nurse on the fourth floor. Ella, yes, that's right, I'll hold on.
Hello?
telephone company would stop saying, oh, do call your loved ones. When you do call, you get everyone but your loved ones.
Well, who have you been talking to?
Oh, the phone operator, the receptionist at the hospital, and then somebody who just said, is this Mabel? Mother is fine. And I said, oh, no, I'm not Mabel. I'm calling long distance from Beckett, Massachusetts.
Hello?
Hello? Hello, this is Mrs. Robert Baxter. I'm calling from Beckett, Massachusetts, about our Aunt Maggie, Miss Margaret Sorensen.
Oh, yes. Oh,
well, could you tell us how she is?
Oh, she's doing as well as can be expected.
Are you the head nurse on this floor?
No, I'm not. Miss Wiley is the head nurse, and she is having her dinner, but she's due back any minute.
May I ask who you are?
I'm a student nurse, Miss Harrison.
Oh, well, Miss Harrison, we're so worried about our aunt.
Miss Sorensen is doing as well as can be expected.
Miss Harrison, what does that mean? I mean, what is expected? Aunt Maggie has a broken hip or leg. She was operated on Saturday, and they were to put a pin in. We have not heard a word since.
Well, all I can say is she really is doing as well as can be expected.
Miss Harrison, I'm sure you've been told to say that to all the worried relatives who phone in. But could you give me a few more details? How is she? Is she eating? Is she in pain? What does her doctor say? Does she need anything? How long will she be there? I mean, Hello? Hello? Miss Harrison? Miss Harrison, are you there?
I don't know. I don't know. Nobody tells me anything. We're so short-handed here. Mr. Ferris needs his tube changed. Mrs. Bromley doesn't like her dinner. Everybody has his light on. I've always wanted to be a nurse, but it's nothing like I thought it was going to be. I haven't had any sleep for 2 days.
Miss Harrison, I just wanted to ask...
Here's Miss Wiley, the head nurse.
Hello.
Miss Wiley, head nurse
4-4. Miss Wiley, this is Mrs. Baxter calling from Beckett, Massachusetts.
Yes.
Miss Wiley, how is our Aunt Maggie, Miss Margaret Sorensen? She has a broken leg or hip. We really have no definite information.
Oh, yes. Miss Sorensen is doing as well as can be expected.
Miss Wiley, what is expected?
For any further information, I'm afraid you're going to have to talk to Miss Sorensen's doctor.
Well, I'd love to talk to her doctor. Who is he and where is he?
Dr. Claggett is skiing this weekend, but he is expected back tomorrow. Would you like to talk to the resident, Dr. Porter?
No, I will call back tomorrow and talk to the surgeon. I want to know exactly what was done and when exactly... Hello, Miss Wiley. Hello? Hello?
Did she hang up?
Oh, I don't know. I doubt. Disconnected, probably.
Would you get any information?
Doing as well as can be expected.
I
tell you, trying to get any information out of hospitals like pulling teeth. Worse, the student nurse was hysterical. I doubt she lasts very long, and the head nurse is never allowed to say anything over the phone, except that the patient is doing as well as can be expected.
Well, at least we know Aunt Maggie's all right.
I don't know that she's all right at all. The surgeon is skiing, for heaven's sakes. Why can't you ever get any definite information from a hospital?
Well, you're 2,000 miles away. Are they supposed to worry you?
Then you think there is something to worry about, don't you?
I really do. Boy, I never should have said that.
Well,
now wait a minute. I'll make a bet with you. If Aunt Maggie has any complaints, she doesn't like the color the room is painted in, or she wants the bed facing the other way, I'll bet you she's already talked to the maintenance man.
Yes, you're so right. I can just hear it. Now, this room should have been painted a bright, cheerful yellow.
That's right. Now, look, do me a favor. Stop worrying.
All right, dear. I'll stop today. I'll start again tomorrow.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, ban roll-on antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that ban roll-on antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of ban roll-on. And you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban roll-on antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol shampoo formula conditions while it colors. Makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh, young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
The Little Things in Life with Peg Lynch and Bob Dryden was written by Peg Lynch, directed by Warren Somerville. produced by Dick Cox and Peg Lynch, and has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be. I'm Charles Woods. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Hasn't gone off yet, Em.
Well, I can fix that.
All right. Five more minutes.
Of course, dear.
What's the matter?
The matter?
Yeah, you've never let me get away with it before.
Well, I decided the walls of Jefferson Hospital won't come tumbling down if its chief of medical service is 5 minutes late.
It's only taken you 19 years of marriage to realize that.
As a matter of fact, if you didn't go in at all...
Do you think I want them to find that out? Hey, good morning.
Good morning, dear. When was the last time you took a day off?
When Jennifer was born.
Oh, what a memory. You checked her over and went back to work.
Did I?
You sure did. Took more time out when I had Bobby and Susie.
Well, let's face it, darling. You did all the work.
Oh, no, you admit it.
Hey, how are you feeling this morning?
Fine.
Don't forget to take your medicine.
What?
Your medicine.
I just did.
Good.
Jason,
mm-hmm.
What are we going to tell Susie? I mean, she knows I don't drive anymore, that Angela takes me shopping and drives me any place I have to go.
I really don't know, dear.
You know, we decided not to tell the children about the tumor. We didn't allow for the natural intelligence.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, Bobby's away at college, so that's not an immediate problem, but Susie is noticing.
And I just can't bear to have her burdened with...
Now, darling, don't you worry.
She's only 16, same age Angela was when we lost her parents.
Em, darling, you're going to be around for a long time.
But if I get worse, if I can't do things...
Well, you're going to see Marsh next week, aren't you?
Yes. I'm due for a checkup.
Well, he'll be able to tell us if there's been any change, if the tumor has enlarged.
I'll know right away. You know that, don't you?
Oh, what do you mean?
I mean, if it's good news, he'll tell me. And if it's bad, he'll tell you. Well, that's almost everything, isn't it, Emma?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's see. Paper towels.
Oh, yeah. They're in the next aisle, I think. Yep.
Two rolls?
You better make it four, Angela.
Oh, they have a special on tomato juice.
Good. We can always use that.
By the way, I had the strangest conversation with Ginger Foster yesterday.
Oh, about Marge?
Mm-hmm. And you, too.
Me?
She was wearing this beautiful bracelet, and I noticed it.
Oh, the one Marge gave her for her birthday.
That's the one. Do you remember how he bought it?
Well, sure. He couldn't make up his mind. He asked me to help him choose.
Well, you were observed.
No.
Yes, as luck would have it, Ginger saw you and Marsh in the jewelry store.
I'm afraid I know what's coming.
Right. Ginger admitted she felt very foolish when Marsh produced the bracelet all engraved for her birthday.
Oh, that must have been rough on Marsh.
Well, she defended herself by saying it was a natural mistake.
Yeah, well, I wonder what the outcome would have been if he hadn't been able to come up with an engraved bracelet.
Oh, you really have to wonder. Oh, let's get some baking apples.
Why did she get you? I mean, it doesn't seem as if the story exactly covered her with glory.
Well, I finally figured that out. I think she thought maybe I'd already heard about it.
Well, how
could you?
From you.
She thought Marsh had told you all about it.
Well, he said nothing. I suppose she wanted to get her version on the record. Oh, that watercress looks good. Lord, it seems even when Marsh tries to do the right thing...
Well, she said she'd never be jealous again.
Well, if that's really true, maybe it's all worthwhile.
I wouldn't count on it, Angela.
This is your roving reporter, about to interview a nose.
How do I look?
You're not on TV, nose. This is for radio.
But how do I sound?
Pretty stuffy. Why don't you use four-way nasal spray?
Is four-way the leading brand?
Not yet, nose.
Then why should I use it?
Because you can't buy faster decongestant relief than four-way nasal spray. And four-way can cost a lot less than the leading brand. A lot less. Here, just follow the directions.
Hey, that's a blast. You can interview me now.
Thanks, nose, but I just didn't.
If you take Tylenol instead of aspirin for headache, now you can get the exact same relief with Daytrill and get a dollar refund besides. Buy Daytrill in the 100 or 250 tablet size and Bristol-Myers will refund you $1. Send name, address, and Daytrill carton to Daytrill, Box 836, Farmingdale, New York, 11735. And get a dollar back. Offer good on one bottle only. Expires April 30th, 1976. So try Daytrill now and get a dollar back.
I wish I could stay, Caroline. Lunch with you and Angela would be a very pleasant break.
I appreciate the thought.
By the way, where's Dad? Sitting home, lunching in magnificent isolation?
Well, now, you know I see your father every night at dinner. And anyway, he's in court today.
No, only kidding, Caroline. What news from Aspen?
Well, Lynn says that Kurt is more optimistic.
About finding a job?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Although your father insists anything connected with skiing cannot be considered work.
Well, Dad is sure if you enjoy something, it can't be work.
Hello, Angela.
Hi. How'd you leave Emily?
Oh, busy as usual. We finished shopping.
Angela, I really appreciate your driving her around.
Oh, it's not much, Jason.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'd better get back upstairs. They may start a meeting without me, so I'll see you later.
All right, bye-bye. Angela, I hope I'm not cutting into your free time.
You're not, but it wouldn't matter if you were.
And how's Emily?
Well, didn't Jason tell you?
Well, he's a doctor, and...
I know. It's hard to get an uncomplicated answer from the professionals, even when they are family.
Are you telling me not to expect too much information from you, because you're a nurse?
Oh, no. No. Emily seems all right. She knows she has to be careful, so that's why she's given up driving the car.
Yeah. Well, that must be hard. She's always been so independent.
Well, she's more worried about explaining it to Susie.
Yes, of course. And I suppose Jennifer, too.
Oh, I doubt if she'll say anything to Jennifer at all.
Well, Jennifer is only 8. She's completely recovered from the accident?
Oh, yes, entirely.
Good. Which brings me to why I wanted to see you.
Something about Jen?
Indirectly. You know I want to establish a children's clinic.
Yes. You presented Joe Gonzalez with quite a problem.
Yes, it seems so. Why can't he accept the opportunity to run the clinic? I don't want to press him, but I just wish I knew why.
Won't he tell you?
I hoped he would tell you.
I think it's pretty obvious, Caroline. He's, still afraid you're trying to reward him for saving Jennifer's life.
Oh, dear, I thought I'd work that out with him.
Well, maybe that's what's wrong.
What do you mean?
Well, you're both looking at it from two entirely different viewpoints. You're in control, and he's not. You're the giver, and he's the receiver. Maybe you can find a way to even things up.
Yes, Miss Tatum. I said I was coming directly home. When I was getting on the elevator. Well, I'm sorry if you didn't hear me. Well, tell Mr. Jordan I'll see him tomorrow. What? Well, I'll be in at the usual time when I get there. Fine. Goodbye. Sometimes I think I'm working for her.
Robert!
Hmm?
What are you doing home so early?
Between you and Miss Tatum, I'm beginning to wonder.
Uh-huh, playing hooky from the office.
I came home to have a pleasant time with my charming wife.
Oh, dear... You're feeling all right.
Well, I thought I was.
Well, of course I'm glad to see you. In fact, there's something I've been meaning to ask you.
Be ready in a minute.
Don't darling, it's not that serious. It's about the cost of the clinic.
Oh, well, that's more serious than you realize.
What do you mean?
I had Bill Sloan get some preliminary figures together based on some recent cost figures, and your pet project is going to cost a bundle.
Oh? What's a bundle?
Altogether, several million dollars.
Several's more than two, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't think it would be cheap.
Caroline, do you realize that just overseeing the preliminary steps, even before the doors would be opened, would involve a tremendous amount of work?
Well, yes, I'm aware of that.
Who's going to handle it? Joe Gonzalez is a doctor, not an administrator.
Well, I didn't expect him to take on that part of the job.
A very important, responsible job.
Well, of course I realize that.
Good. You have someone in mind?
Well, let's just say I have an idea. An idea I'm not ready to discuss for now.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side, each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
To Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.